Good morning. Welcome to Lots of Love Ministries. It is October 13th, 2024. And this morning we've been singing about Waymaker. Yeshua is our Waymaker. And even when we don't feel it or see it, He is working. Amen. Amen. Let's remember that Yeshua is faithful. And whatever you need, He's here for you today. He will make a way where there seems no way, because He is the way maker. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, yesterday was Yom Kippur, Day of Atonement. What is Yom Kippur, you may ask? Well, it was one day every year where the high priest entered the most holy place to place the blood on the mercy seat to atone for the sins of Israel. Now it's a day to be humble, repentant, and to recommit to living your life Yahweh's way. It's a day to fast and afflict your soul, to meditate on the goodness of God and His sacrifice. It's a day to say, Yeshua is my King, and I will be His disciple. Now, even the first covenant had regulations for divine worship and the earthly sanctuary. For a tabernacle was equipped, the outer sanctuary, in which were the lampstand, the table, and the sacred bread. This is called the holy place. Behind the second veil, there was a tabernacle, which is called the most holy place, having a golden altar of incense and the Ark of Covenant, covered on all sides with gold, in which was a golden jar holding the manna, Aaron's staff, which budded, and the tablets of the covenant, which we know today as the Ten Commandments. And above it were the cherubim of glory, overshadowing the atoning cover. About these things, we cannot speak in detail. This is from the first section of Hebrews 9. What is being said in this section is that there are regulations for divine worship, protocol, if you will. The phrase, even the first covenant had regulations, implies that there are still regulations. I believe that the church today has largely forgotten how to worship in spirit and truth. They have a distinct lack of the fear of the Lord, which is the beginning of wisdom. Worship services have become social events and forums of entertainment for seeker-friendly visitors and members looking for a warm, fuzzy feeling. People come when they feel like it and want to leave feeling good about themselves, not really looking to change ungodly and carnal behaviors. During services, they are distracted by their cell phones rather than being focused on lifting up the name of Yeshua and learning how to live as they ought. They are content in being marginal believers rather than becoming disciples. We will discuss this more in a bit. Now, back to our passage in Hebrews 9. A brief description of the temple is also given. But this is not the discussion of the moment. Later, a complete explanation of the temple will be given. The important point in this passage is found in the next section. Now, when these things have been so prepared, the priests are continually entering the outer tabernacle, performing the divine worship. But into the second, only the high priest enters once a year, not without taking blood, which he offers for himself and for the sins of the people committed in ignorance. The Holy Spirit is signifying this, that the way into the holy place has not yet been disclosed while the outer tabernacle is still standing, which is a symbol for the present time. Accordingly, both gifts and sacrifices are offered which cannot make the worshiper perfect in conscience, since They relate only to food, drink, and various washings. Regulations for the body imposed until a time of reformation. This is a very interesting section. And it's set very deep. But I'm not going to go deep into this section today. That's not what this message is about. Sometime in the future, I want to dig deep into this section. But when Christ appeared as a high priest of the good things having come, he entered through the greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made by hands. That is, not of this creation, and not through the blood of goats and calves, but through his own blood, he entered the holy place for all time. Now, once for all time, having obtained eternal redemption, for it, the blood of goats and bulls, and the ashes of a heifer, sprinkling those who have been defiled, sanctify for the cleansing of the flesh, how much more will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without blemish to God, cleanse our conscience from dead works to serve the living God? Wow. Wow, 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 wow. This is so powerful. There's so much in this. So the outer court was a shadow and type of what was to come. And what was to come was Yeshua, who offered his own blood on the mercy seat in heaven. That is right. The temple on earth, built by the hands of people, is a copy of the one in heaven. The high priest every year offered that sin sacrifice. But Yeshua offered his blood once for all. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, the main point in what has been said is this. We have such a high priest who has taken his seat at the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens, a minister in the sanctuary and in the true tabernacle, which the Lord set up, not man. For every high priest is appointed to offer both gifts and sacrifices. So it's necessary that this high priest also have something to offer. Now, if he were on earth, he would not be a priest at all, since there are those who offer the gifts according to the law, who serve a copy and a shadow of the heavenly things, just as Moses was warned by God when he was about to erect the tabernacle. He said, "For see," he says, "you make all things by the pattern which was shown to you on the mountain." You can read this in Hebrews 8, 1 through 5. Then as we continue to read in chapter 9, "For this reason, he is the mediator of a new covenant, so that since a death has taken place for the redemption of the violations that were committed under the first covenant, those who have been called may receive the promise of the eternal inheritance. For where there is a covenant, there must of necessity be the death of the one who made it. For a covenant is valid only when people are dead, for it is never enforced while the one who made it lives. Therefore, even the first covenant was not inaugurated without blood. For when every commandment had been spoken by Moses to all the people according to the law, he took the blood of the calves and the goats with water and scarlet wool and hyssop and sprinkled both the book itself and all the people, saying, 'This is the blood of the covenant which God commanded you.' And in the same way, he sprinkled both the tabernacle and all the vessels of the ministry with the blood. And almost all things are cleansed with blood, according to the law. And without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness." So in this passage, you can replace the word covenant with a will. Like today, we have a will that we prepare. And when we die, that will instructs on the people who are living beyond us, our heirs, on what they get. That's the covenant. That's the idea of the covenant here. It cannot be enforced unless there's a death. A will is not enforced until someone dies. But this passage also includes the statement, almost all things are cleansed with blood. So what things are not cleansed by blood? In the Old Testament, while blood sacrifices were common, they weren't the only means of atonement. For example, there were grain offerings. These were used in certain purification rituals, like when a person recovered from skin disease. You can read this in Leviticus 14, verses 10 and 20 through 21. Grain offerings didn't involve blood. And you have the ashes of the red heifer. This was a unique ritual for the purification of those who had come into contact with the dead. You can read about that in Numbers 19. It didn't involve the shedding of blood in the usual sense, as the heifer was burned whole. This is why we read, almost all things are cleansed with blood. Therefore, it was necessary for the copies of the things in the heavens to be cleansed with these things, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. For Christ did not enter a holy place made by hands, a mere copy of the true one, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Nor was it that he would offer himself often, as the high priest enters the holy place year by year with blood that is not his own. This is speaking of Yom Kippur. That's the day when the high priest went in with the blood every year, year after year, on Yom Kippur, Day of Atonement. He went in and entered and put that blood on the mercy seat. Not Yeshua. He doesn't have to go in every year. He doesn't have to die on the cross every year. Otherwise, he would have needed to suffer often since the foundation of the world. But now, once, at the consummation of the ages, he has been revealed to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And just as it was is destined for people to die once, and after this comes judgment, so Christ also, having been offered once to bear the sins of many, will appear a second time for salvation without reference to sin to those who eagerly await him. Again, there is so much in this section. We're reading through the whole chapter of Hebrews 9, and I'm just, as usual, touching on the surface and expecting you to be a Berean and dig deep into this chapter and study it out for yourself. The meaning of Yom Kippur and how this feast of the Lord points to Yeshua and how Yeshua is our sacrifice. And placed his blood, not the blood of animals, but his own precious blood on the altar in heaven, on the true mercy seat, the one that Moses built as a shadow, a copy of. The temple here on earth, it's just a shadow, a copy. The true temple is in heaven. Think about that, Selah on it. And it talks about heavenly things. The heavenly things themselves had to be purified by a better sacrifice. This refers to the spiritual realities in God's presence. To truly purify these heavenly things, something better than animal blood was required. And that better sacrifice is Yeshua himself. The point is that the old system with its animal sacrifices was sufficient for the symbolic purification of the earthly tabernacle. But for the actual forgiveness of sins and purification of people's consciences before God, the sacrifice of the perfect, sinless Yeshua was necessary. His blood can truly cleanse our consciences from dead works to serve the living God. With this knowledge of what Yeshua did for us, we are called to be his disciples. Hallelujah. What a powerful message we have so far. But now I want to take a little time to discuss what it means to be a disciple. All disciples are believers, but not all believers are disciples. Let me say that again. Listen carefully and grasp this truth. All disciples are believers, but not all believers are disciples. This is a powerful truth. We are called to be disciples, not just believers. How do we know the difference between the two? Well, here's a list of things that will help you know whether you are just a believer or have become a disciple as well. Greg Laurie shared them in his book titled Start to Follow, How to Be a Successful Follower of Jesus. Listen carefully and see which column your check falls in. The believer looks to the cross. The disciple takes up his cross. The believer obeys God when it's convenient. The disciple obeys regardless of the outcome. A believer decides once. A disciple decides daily. Believers focus on eternal life, as in getting to heaven. Disciples focus on eternal rewards by bringing heaven to earth. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. That is the mantra, the prayer of the disciple. A believer prays when things get tough. A disciple prays regardless of the circumstances. A believer sees the church as a service to attend. A disciple sees himself as the church. A believer lives a saved life. A disciple lives a called life. A believer makes heaven. Gets to heaven. I got my ticket to ride. My fire insurance papers. But a disciple makes history. He changes his world. Amen? A believer receives Yeshua. A disciple represents Yeshua. So honestly, are you a believer or a disciple or both? I sincerely pray that you are both. But if by listening to these points of comparison, you discovered that you are not the disciple you are called to be, then today, this is a new beginning for you. You can make a choice to become a disciple this very minute. Today, make that choice. But how does one become a disciple? Well, from our comparison points, we see that there's a decision that needs to be made. Discipleship requires a daily decision to follow Yeshua, not just a one-time decision to believe. Make a conscious choice each day to obey him, regardless of the outcome. Disciple moves beyond just praying when things get tough. Yes, we can call on him in our time of need. He hears our prayers. We need to develop a consistent prayer life, communing with God in all circumstances, whether today we're going through a trial or a tribulation or not. Today may be going very well. You may be blessed in all areas of your life. Don't forget to commune with God through prayer. We must look at our identity and see ourselves as part of the church. Not just attending church services. Discover your gifts and use them to serve others, both inside the four walls of a church and out everywhere you go. In the marketplace, in the bank, in your job, and at home. Amen? Learn what your destiny is and how to fulfill it. Get trained in the area in which you are called and walk in it. Embrace the mission. It's a call to live a life that brings heaven to earth. Look for ways to extend God's kingdom in your sphere of influence every day. Find a community of fellow disciples for the support and accountability. This could be a small group or a mentoring relationship. Notice I said disciples, not believers. Hanging out with believers may be fun, but they will not help you in your quest to be a disciple. They may even drag you down into a carnal lifestyle. Because believing in Yeshua is not enough. Even the demons believe and tremble, according to James 2:19. Study. Always encourage you, be a Berean and study. Grow in your understanding of Yeshua's teachings. Study the gospel and reflect on how to apply his words to your life. And sacrifice. The mark of a disciple is sacrifice. Be willing to take up your cross daily. This means being willing to set aside your own desires and agenda when they conflict with Yeshua's. You may have certain household tasks on your agenda. You may say, I need to get this done today, that done today, whatever. I need to run this errand or that errand. And Yeshua says, I want you to go down and check on your neighbor and minister to them. Do it. You will be blessed. Don't say to him, well, I'm too busy right now. I have to clean the kitchen. I have to run to the bank, or whatever. Maybe when you're in town, you run a couple errands and the Lord says, now I need you to go over here. Well, that store was not on my list of stops. But he wants you to go into Walmart or into another store, Hobby Lobby, World Market, a small clothing store. Maybe there's a place that you need to go. Maybe he wants you to eat lunch at a certain restaurant because there's someone there that what you're carrying, they need. Be willing to listen and obey. Remember, discipleship is a journey, not a destination. It's about progress, not perfection. The important thing is to take that next step today and then keep moving forward with Yeshua. And never forget, being a disciple is about relationship. Enter into and nurture your own personal relationship with our Lord and Savior Yeshua, who is our high priest and has made us priests and kings unto our God. He is and will always be our greatest example. Let's do what he showed us to do and bring honor and glory to his wonderful name. Let's take the next step beyond being just a believer to becoming a disciple. Let's bring the kingdom into our sphere of influence. Amen. Let's close in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for calling us to be more than just a believer. Help us to embrace the journey of discipleship, following Yeshua daily, no matter the cost. Give us eyes to see the ways we can extend your kingdom in our lives. Strengthen us to take that next step today, whatever it is, whether it's deepening our prayer life, serving others in our sphere of influence, or studying your teachings in the Bible. Connect us with fellow disciples for support and encouragement. Remind us that you, Yeshua, for our high priest, and that you have made us priests and kings. Help us to live out of that calling, honoring you in all that we do. May we bring glory to your name as we become the disciples you are calling us to be. We pray this in your powerful name, Yeshua.
Amen.
Well, I hope you were blessed and encouraged by this message, and that you learned something too. As you do life this week, I pray you will choose to do life as a disciple of Yeshua, not just a believer. Yes, we believe in Yeshua. We believe in the cross. And we trust in that. And we take communion. And whenever we take communion, we believe and remember what Yeshua did on the cross. But that belief should drive us to become a disciple and do what Yeshua taught us to do. If you are looking for someone to disciple you one-on-one, email me at lotsofloveministries@yahoo.com. Now I will close with this traditional Yom Kippur blessing. Mar Hatama Tova. May you be sealed in the Book of Life. Until next week, Shalom in your home.